5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Discovery, go at throttle up.
Discovery, Houston, press to ATO.
All right, everybody. The mask mandate is still under attack. In Knoxville, well, in Knox County, which is up near Knoxville, Tennessee, two doctors have filed a lawsuit claiming the county, the health department, and its health board relied on faulty data to issue Knox County's mask mandate. You can find the article that I'm reading from at WVIT.TV. That is the CBS affiliate out of Knoxville, Tennessee. And the article reads, two Knox County doctors have filed a lawsuit claiming the county, its health department, and its health board relied on faulty data to issue Knox County's mask mandate. According to court documents obtained by WVLT News, Dr. Stephen J. Smith and Dr. Jason J. Hall filed the suit in Chancellery Court on July 24th against Knox County, the Knox County Health Department, its director, Dr. Martha Buchanan, the Knox County Board of Health, and its chair, Jack Gotcher. The suit claims the county relied on faulty data, which includes false positives for the support and adoption of the mandate. The health department said Wednesday that false positive test results are counted as positive because there is no way to determine which test was correct. This means if a person takes two tests and one is negative and one is positive, the department counts it as positive. In the lawsuit, the plaintiffs alleged their rights afforded under the Tennessee Constitution were violated by the defendants. Court documents show both Knox County doctors are asking for nullification, voidance, revocation, or any other relief deemed fit by the court. I immediately want to go back to this. The health department said yesterday for me, I don't know when you're listening to this, that false positive test results are counted as positive because there is no way to determine which test was correct. Shouldn't that mean that the test can't be used? I mean, we're just throwing numbers in barrels here. Seriously, is it not starting to come together where nobody has a clue how many people even have COVID-19, but yet we still get these reports from Dr. Fauci and other people? Well, you know, these states need to watch out. They're going to have high numbers next month, or, you know, this fall and stuff like that. But yet, you know, the CDC openly admitted that they were taking COVID-19 testings and the antibody tests and running them all together. So there, if you showed positive for the antibodies, then that counted as you tested positive for COVID. Because it's all mixed into one. So we have that. Then we have 33 hospitals in Florida fudging their numbers, saying that they had a 99.8% increase in positive test results when in reality it was 9.8%. We also have the truth that a COVID death is counted as no matter what you die from, if you test positive for COVID, then your cause of death is COVID. That spikes the numbers. All these things come together and spike the numbers to get a higher positive test result. If a test reads false positive, that's positive. If you get an antibody test and you test positive for antibodies, then that is counted as a positive testing for COVID-19. And I'm not blaming Florida. I think that's going on all over the place. I think a lot of places are jacking their numbers up. Why? They're probably being told to by somebody. And the funding that goes to these cities and counties that are experiencing quote-unquote high numbers of COVID-19 also get millions of dollars in relief. Just like Hamilton County, don't quote me on this, but I think they got 120, or the state of Tennessee got $124 million for COVID relief. That's a lot of money. That is a lot of money. So, of course, you want to be a hot zone. And it's not just about the numbers. I don't know what else it is. I know it's political. I know that both sides of the party, well, I won't say that. I'll say the powers that be want this here. I mean, why can we not call these people out for the truth? You know, I talked about masks yesterday. They don't work. Your bandana is not doing anything. Your little cloth that you can wear around your neck and slide up over your face when you want to, that doesn't work. You know what those were invented for? Sun blocking. Yeah. Not to protect you from a virus. Bandanas were not made to protect you from a virus. And like I said, most of the masks, if you read on the box or the packaging, it has to say it. They can't lie on the package. They have to put the truth. And the truth is, it does not prevent the spread of COVID-19. So here we are, on and on, over and over again. We get told one thing, and then the truth comes out a couple of days later. Wear your mask. Don't pay attention to people exposing the truth, saying that they're doing stuff like this in Knox County. They're doing it everywhere. But we're just supposed to sit back and be, okay, whatever y'all say. Wear a mask. Oh, now Dr. Fauci says we need to wear glasses. If I start seeing people wearing goggles or mask or safety glasses and stuff like that to get out and walk around, I'm going to lose my mind. Do you not check into this stuff? I mean, are you really content with hearing whatever news station you listen to, are you really content with believing what they're telling you all the time? I hope you're not. It's it wasn't like somebody at the health department was sitting there giving a test and, you know, this guy Bob walks in and says, hey, you know what? I want to get tested for COVID-19, but I want you to run two tests on me. Oh, okay, Bob. Well, Susie makes up the two tests. She tests Bob both with both tests. Looks at the test. I know I'm speeding things up. I know that it takes a few days and all that, but I'm being sarcastic. Looks at the test. One says positive. One says negative. And she looks over at Mary doing tests next to her and was like, Mary, you ever seen this before? Same guy. One's positive, one's negative. What are we supposed to do? Oh, just mark it as a positive. We'll just mark them positive. The higher ups that know these tests are not coming back accurate are telling people, well, if you get two tests and it comes back one positive and one negative, you count that as a positive. That is not some lady sitting in a chair taking tests, taking COVID-19 tests that did this. No. The city officials were involved in that decision. Or as, you know, Hamilton County likes to refer to as the Hamilton County COVID-19 Task Force. Are we ever going to stand up? But Jeff, scientists say this and scientists say that. Yeah, they do. For every scientist that says that COVID is highly contagious, there's just as many scientists saying that it's not. Same with the masks. But common sense should tell you, especially with the bandanas, that you were doing nothing. You are absolutely doing nothing to stop the spread. I honestly hope that this lawsuit that these doctors have filed against I hope that this lawsuit exposes the truth against this Knox County Health Department and the Health Board and the county. This was not some, oops, we didn't mean to do that. And you can't really go back on saying that false positive tests are counted as positives because there is no way to determine which test is correct. That is a direct quote from the health department in Knox County. Straight up saying, we didn't know what to do, so we decided to count them as positives because we didn't know which one was right. How are we supposed to know? We just used the test that the government gives us. Okay. And, you know, that's not even the worst of it. I mean, the wheels have fallen off the wagon. Everything is starting to pour out. Okay? I mean, let's look at this article on theguardian.com. Headline reads, California landlords are locking out struggling tenants. A tsunami of evictions may be next. We just read an article about this, last week? Where they were warning people, hey, look, the bailout's coming to an end. You know, your protection of not being evicted during a pandemic, that's coming to an end. Even though the numbers are still going up, people are still dying, when we're under mask mandates, California right now is completely locked down again. So this isn't like California's numbers were getting better and, you know, now they're like, oh, well, now that we can get back to normal, let's let these landlords get out here and evict people. No. They gave people across the country protection from being evicted from their homes. We've also been given stimulus checks every week, or unemployment checks, whichever you want to call it. But here we are, state of California, complete lockdown, and people are getting evicted. What does this do? It creates more chaos onto the chaos that we're already in. So let's read a little bit of this article. Like I said, it says, California landlords are locking out struggling tenants. A tsunami of evictions may be next. Let's scroll down. Okay. Some California tenants have faced increasingly aggressive eviction efforts over the last month. Despite emergency protections meant to preserve people's housing during the coronavirus pandemic, and although advocates have urged state officials to strengthen the rules, key renters' protections are set to expire without new state plans in place. We talked about this. I'm not talking about conspiracy theories. Some of this stuff does sound like conspiracy theory because it's so ridiculous that you wish it wasn't true. Let's continue. The result, experts say, could be catastrophic. Amid rising coronavirus infections and a worsening economic crisis, hundreds of thousands of renters are now at risk of becoming homeless in California, potentially exacerbating the state's dire housing crisis. In addition, advocates fear the lack of protection will embolden some landlords to resort to hostile methods to get their renters out at a time when many Californians have nowhere to go. So here we are. California has some of the highest homeless ratings in the United States. There is overrun abandoned areas throughout the state of California that look like a third world country. But we're not going to protect the people that have a home that you, the government, have conditioned them to stay home, made them stay home. They can't go out and earn money. You're cutting their stimulus check. I don't know what the state of California is looking like for the unemployment, but I know the state of Tennessee is looking to cut. And I know that the federal government is wanting to cut it, and that is part of the new stimulus package, that your unemployment check is going to get slashed. So the state with overabundant amount of homeless people already living there because of the government and because of, we'll just stick with the government. So California, highest homeless rates across the board. You know, they're probably one of the top three states of homelessness. And now we're just going to keep piling that on. We're going to start kicking people out of their homes, and government ain't going to do nothing for you. Okay, carrying on. With so many families facing huge rent debt, advocates are urging the state to act. The only viable solution, some activists say, is rent relief, a move that elected officials have so far resisted. Okay, remember how we got you. You're covered. Don't worry about it. We're in a pandemic. Everybody stay at home, stay safe. You know, we'll pay you unemployment. We'll protect you from getting evicted from your house. You know, hey, we're in a pandemic. That's the main concern. No, we're going to get you to stay at home. We're going to protect you for what? A month? 2 months? I don't know the exact time frame, but yeah, we'll protect you. But that protection is expiring and we're going to do nothing. I mean, it says right here, the only viable solution, some activists say, is rent relief, a move that elected officials have so far resisted. They do not want to help you anymore. They got you where they want you. Now you're on your own. So all these people that did not have a choice but to stay home because they have families, their jobs shut down and have not reopened. A lot of businesses in California are not going to recover from the second lockdown. They were already on the verge of losing their business after the first lockdown. So now, government locked them down again, but they're not going to help you anymore. A move that elected officials have so far resisted. Continuing. When talking about the scale of eviction and mass displacement, it's pretty unimaginable, said Ananya Roy, director of the Institute of on Inequality and Democracy at the University of California, Los Angeles. The state, she said, was headed towards even more dire conditions than the shanty towns or Hoovervilles of the 1930s. This will be worse than the Great Depression. You are absolutely correct. They are not helping you. I mean, look at people. People are leaving the state of California. I mean, all these people that have stood up for all the nonsense that California has been doing for all these years, people have stood up for them and fought against everybody saying these bad things about California. Now, everybody's saying to hell with this, we're getting out. You know, I don't know if y'all listen to Joe Rogan. Everybody's heard of Joe Rogan. He's moving to Texas. He's packing up everything and headed to Texas. This guy has the largest podcast in the world right now. Sitting fancy. Works out of California. Has anybody and everybody on the show. Now, he's packing up and moving to Texas. Why? Because he has a family. And he's terrified about what's going on in California. Joey Diaz, another comedian and podcaster, he's getting out. When he saw Joe Rogan make the decision to get out of California, made him reevaluate. Now he's leaving. I mean, let that sink in. This will be worse than the Great Depression. And at the bottom of this article, it says, a crisis becomes a catastrophe. When California became one of the first states to shut down in March, and millions, you heard that right, millions lost their jobs, Governor Newsom ordered a statewide delay on imposing evictions for people who could not pay rent. Some local jurisdictions passed their own measures, Los Angeles, and some Bay Area governments gave tenants 1 year to pay back the rent they owed, while the city of Oakland barred landlords from evicting people due to non-payment during the crisis. One of the most critical protections came from the state court system, which stopped processing evictions in April. But now it's starting to happen. Continuing, the protections were not comprehensive or strictly enforced. Landlords continue to pursue evictions across the state, in some cases successfully, but the emergency rules did delay total mayhem. Well, welcome the mayhem, because it's knocking at your door right now. If you're in California, and it's not just in California, this is the federal protection that we all had from being evicted is gone. You might get a little extension. I think some states are doing like 2 week extensions, 1 month. At the rate they're going, you need it until January. Maybe February. Continuing on. That could soon change, though. The state's Judiciary Council announced last week that it was considering rescinding its halt on eviction processing and a move that would reopen the courts to enforce removal cases against tenants. At the same time, Republicans in Congress are seeking to cut extra unemployment benefits, which could be particularly hard on California, where the jobless rate has hovered at 15%. Don't you like how it says stuff like, the state's Judiciary Council announced last week that it was considering rescinding? What are you considering? Your state is in a pandemic. Not my words, everybody else. I don't think we're in a pandemic. But let's go with what everybody's saying on the news and the government and all that. In a pandemic, they're considering rescinding its halt. Considering it. These are public officials that are elected into office by the people of that community, city, county, state. That means that these people work for you. You do not work for them. But see how they're hanging this over you? Like, we'll consider it. Yeah, we know hundreds of thousands, millions of people could possibly lose everything they own. We'll consider it. We'll consider looking into this. Okay, well, we're so happy that you high and mighties on the California Judiciary Council, we are so thankful that you are considering this for the people of California, the people that you work for. Because, see, they're not worried about losing their home. Elected officials, they've been getting that paycheck. Matter of fact, in the last stimulus check, Congress and Senate gave themselves like a bonus, a raise, even though they weren't working. How about that? Wouldn't you like to get a bonus for sitting at home doing nothing right now? Be awesome. Let's continue. Experts are now predicting a tsunami of evictions. UCLA researchers have estimated that 495,000 households are at risk of eviction in Los Angeles County. In Silicon Valley, one of the wealthiest regions in the world, 43,000 households are at high risk of eviction. And even if just 10% of them end up homeless, that could triple the region's unhoused population. Think about that. 495,000 households are at risk of eviction just in Los Angeles County. Another 43,000 in Silicon Valley. Look, I mean, they're telling you, it says right here, even if just 10% of them end up homeless, that could triple the region's unhoused population. What are they saying? The homeless count is about to skyrocket. It's already way up here, and we're about to just stack and stack and stack, and we're not stopping. We were in a crisis before, now we are in a catastrophe, said Trinidad Ruzzi, an LA Tenants Union organizer. Some landlords, meanwhile, are not waiting for the disappearance of protections to try to remove their tenants with aggressive means. Now, let's just say this. Does this mean that landlords are horrible people? Not all of them, no. There's slumlords out there. There's pieces of garbage that rent properties out that should be condemned, tore down, rebuilt, all the way. But there's also very good landlords. You know, I rent my home. I've rented my house for almost 10 years. I've never had one single issue with my landlord. I pay my rent, keep my bills paid, keep my yard looking okay, and everything's kosher. I know that everybody doesn't have that luxury that I got lucky with. I got a really good landlord. And there's a lot of really good landlords out there. But I also acknowledge the hell that some of these slumlords put people through. They don't care anything about the property that they own other than you're living in it and you're giving them your money. They're not going to fix anything, nothing. I fully acknowledge those pieces of garbage exist, and I wish there was a law to protect the people against landlords like those. So, now we got to look at it this way too. Let's look at the other reality of this. What if it's somebody that's been a really good landlord to you, say for 4 years. I don't know, 2 years. We'll go 2 years. They're paying that house off. So let's say they're only making a 10% profit off of your home that you rent from this particular person. They've been out of work too. They can't pay the mortgage payments on that house that you're living in anymore. They're in jeopardy of losing their property. So I understand that situation. But the government, our government that's supposed to work for us, could help everyone right now. They could help the landlords and the tenants. But they don't, because they continue to fight against each other. Nobody works together. It's a pissing contest both ways. And we pay the consequences for it. And right now, residents in California are starting to pay the price severely. This is going to go on all over the country. I'm just reading you this one article about California, a part of California. Let's read a little bit more. The next subtitle is "The Tenants Under Threat: A Frightening Way to Live." The demands from Teresa Ribeiro's, I hope I pronounced that name right. If I didn't, I apologize. Landlord in Castro Valley, a city in the San Francisco Bay Area, in recent months have become increasingly hostile. Ribeiro said the owner of her house, Juan Souza, has required her to deposit part of her rent in the mail and another portion at the bank in person. A stipulation, the 61-year-old said, has been difficult to follow due to her work schedule and reduced bank hours during the pandemic. When she has been slightly late, Souza has responded with a steady stream of profanity-laden voicemails, recordings show. Like I said, the wars are going to start. All right, and these are quotes from her voicemail. And I quote, "Get my rent and the fucking checking account. I don't care what the fucking issue is," Souza said in one voicemail in June, reviewed by the Guardian. Continuing, I quote, "I don't give a fuck if you got to leave work." In other voicemails, the incensed landlord told her she wasn't behaving like a mature woman and said he was raising the rent by $315. If she couldn't afford it, he added, you need to buy your own house. He also dismissed COVID rules, shouting in one message, I'm going to evict you. I don't give a shit about this virus thing. These rules are not applying. This is one story of one landlord. And he's probably a slumlord. How can you talk to someone that way? And this lady is working. She's not staying at home right now. She's going to work. And she's having to leave work to go deposit money into his bank account. This is going to become a very common thing that we're going to be seeing. You're going to see more and more and more of this unfolding. You're going to see violence. The ball of chaos that's already going on, this is going to just magnify it by 10. Let's see what else it says. Ribeiro has continued to pay full rent and said she is trying to move out, but has struggled to find a place amid the pandemic. Emotionally, I'm a mess. It's frightening for me, and it's a scary way to live. Yes, it is. This is a woman that's been paying her rent and is getting threatened to be evicted. Continuing on. Reached by phone, Souza said he was threatening to evict Ribeiro because he was having financial difficulties. He acknowledged that she did not currently owe him rent, but said she previously had agreed to pay early on the 20th of each month, and he became frustrated when she missed that date. He defends his voicemail, saying they had previously had a good relationship and he was disappointed in her. The way I talked to Teresa was an angry friend. That's not a friend in any way, shape, or form. Basically, what he just said was, she's been paying her money, but then I wanted her to pay it earlier because I'm in a financial hardship. And when she didn't make that date, I called and left threatening, vulgar, highly inappropriate messages. This is a man speaking to a woman. How how big of a piece of trash is this guy just for talking to a lady this way? And didn't say, I think she was 61. Where's respect? This is a temper tantrum by a grown man because he wasn't getting his money earlier in the month than what she had normally paid before the pandemic. It's not her fault that he has any kind of financial bonds. That's not her problem. The tenant-landlord relationship is you pay me money to live in a piece of property that I own. That's the agreement. Not you pay me money every time I'm broke. So basically, he's wanting an advancement on his rent. And he's threatening to raise it by $315 for no reason on her that we know of. But this piece of garbage claims that this is two friends in an argument. No, it's not. No, it's not. You're a piece of garbage that is threatening a woman that is reaching elder age, and you are treating her like she is nothing. Let's see what the next paragraph has to say on this. Antomiko Omura, director of the Eviction Defense Center, which is representing Ribeiro, said her organization was assisting many tenants facing eviction who have no income, nowhere else to go, and doctors advising them not to look for new apartments due to their COVID-19 risk. Yes, by the statistic reports that the whoever it is putting it out, she is in the high-risk category. She is 61 years of age. And if she has any pre-existing conditions on top of her age, then yes, she is at high risk. People are calling all the time who have no money for food, nannies, Uber drivers, restaurant workers. They are all out of work. So this guy throws a little temper tantrum like he's the only one paddling upstream right now. Talks to a 61-year-old woman the way he did. I didn't want to read that, but I wanted you to hear just how vulgar this guy's being to a 61-year-old woman. Makes you wonder why people want to leave California right now. Let's keep going. Denise Briggs, 55, has been struggling to find a new home. Her landlord, Edward Zeltzer, told her he was selling the home she rents in the city of Richmond and that she had to move out. Briggs lost her job at a not-for-profit, has mobility issues, and suffers from respiratory conditions that make her a high risk for COVID. Landlords are asking tenants to pay first and last month's rent up front and a deposit, she said. Cost she can't afford. I'm completely stressed out, she said. Absolutely, and rightfully so, you should be extremely stressed out. And these people should be absolutely ashamed of themselves. I get it. There's two sides to this situation. We said these landlords, some of them, a lot of them may be out of work right now. They're not able to cover their mortgage payment. In turn, they're going to put the heat on you, the renter, the tenant. It's a terrible, terrible situation. So, Denise Briggs, 55, trying to find a new home, and everybody knows, I mean, even without the pandemic going on, think about the headache of moving. If you're a renter, you know, it's a headache if you buy a home and do all that process. Yeah. But we're looking at people that rent right now. You know, you got to have first and last month's rent and usually a deposit. Then if you have pets, you got a pet deposit. So, yeah, somebody out of work right now, no way they're going to move. There's no way they're going to make enough money. There's not enough money for them to pay what you have to pay to get into a new apartment or a new home. And if landlords are evicting people like crazy right now, they're not going to cut any slack on getting money. They need that money. So not only do we need our government to do the right thing and take care of us right now, take care of the people that are in need, that need help. People out of work, people getting evicted. The government can put a stop to this. But they've got to work both sides. The landlords have to get the relief too. Therefore, they will ease up and leave their tenants alone. Because I can tell you right now, if I owned a piece of property right now and I was I'm unemployed because the company I work for is not going to reopen. Let's say I worked there for 5 years. You know, I had a lot invested into my job. Good paying job. It's gone. Out of nowhere, the boss calls and says the doors are locked. What comes next? Well, I got this property that I've been renting out. These good people, you know, they're a few days late on their rent. I need to check in on this. So I check in on it. The husband's sick. His pre-existing conditions have caused him some hardship. Let's say the wife lost her job. Am I expected to go to these two people and put a hammer down on them about giving me my money? I mean, we've all heard desperate times call for desperate measures. People do extremely desperate actions when they're put into a corner. All right. We're getting there. Carrying on. Briggs said she shouldn't have to fight to maintain her housing during a pandemic and that she wished there was more support for tenants. People are down and they need help. The landlord declined to comment. Next subtitle. New eviction methods, lockouts, and electricity shutoffs. Here we go. I mean, it. One step at a time. One step at a time. Beyond initial threats, some landlords have found more direct ways to try to force out tenants. Some have physically prevented tenants from entering, according to the LA Tenants Union, which has organized eviction blockades to defend tenants immediately threatened with losing their homes. Okay, one thing that you need to look at, if you are in financial hardship right now, and there's the possibility of you being evicted from your home, you need to look up the laws. You have that each state has different laws protecting tenants to an extent. You know, Tennessee is probably way different from California. So I'm not going to say, well, this is what happens in Tennessee. But what I will say is there are laws that are in effect that have been there for a long time that protect you as a tenant for a certain point. So if you are to come home from looking for a job and there's chains on your front door, you know, the landlord's gone around and completely locked you out of this property, that landlord can actually have lawsuits brought against him because they cannot legally just show up and lock you out. You pay for that property. You are leasing that property from that person. You have legal rights. They cannot just show up and say you're out. They have to go through a process of eviction. So, you know, if you come home and your power's turned off, well, number one, if the power bill is in your name and not the landlord's, he's in a lot of heat. He's not allowed to do that. So one good thing, though, is the LA Tenants Union, they've organized eviction blockades. I cannot talk today. Sorry, y'all. To defend tenants immediate threatened with losing their home. All right, let's see what the next paragraph has for us. Housing lawyers said that, or let me start again. Housing lawyers said they have also seen an increase in landlords resorting to filing restraining orders against their tenants using a process typically reserved for stalking and harassment cases. Other property owners have delivered paperwork to tenants that appear to be formal eviction lawsuits, when in reality the documents lack legitimate court summons. In at least one county, the sheriff's department has directly carried out evictions and the local courts have allowed them, despite statewide orders. See, mandates, state orders, it's all good until it affects you. So, despite statewide orders in California, people are still have been getting evicted from their home throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. How sorry do you have to be? Now, don't get me wrong. I'll say it one more time. Landlords, they're human beings too. They have to make money. They have to pay the mortgage payments. They have, you know, reserve savings to take care of you if something goes wrong with a property that you're renting from them. You know, if they're losing their jobs, they're in the same boat everybody else is in. I get it. But that doesn't mean that you have to turn into a piece of crap. That doesn't mean that you have to pull stuff like this where you're using fake paperwork, doing restraining orders. People really do that? That is sick. Not only now are you trying to kick this person out of your off your property that they've been leasing from you, now you're trying to bring in legal action by getting a restraining order. Wow. It gets sicker and sicker as we get through this article, isn't it? All right. In South LA, Jessica Zabalta, 41, said her landlord for months has been trying to force her and her 12-year-old son out of a converted garage. She filed a complaint with the city, which informed her landlord. I'm not even going to try to say that person's name. I apologize, but I cannot pronounce it. I have no idea. But the landlord, that it was unlawful to evict her due to COVID-19 protections. But soon after, according to Zabalta, the landlord told her again in person that she needed to move out and then shut off her hot water. This is a lady renting a garage that was converted into some kind of apartment. Her and her 12-year-old son. And you turn off the hot water. On a recent afternoon when she tried to take several activists and a reporter inside her home, several men showed up, confronting the group and physically blocking them from entering. Their relationship to the landlord was unclear, but Zabelta said that said this was the kind of harassment she regularly faced. There is nowhere for us to go, she said, in Spanish, adding that the water was eventually turned back on. The landlord did not respond to any inquiries. Navigating the legal system can be daunting for renters, even if the violations are blatant, activists said. Last month, Christopher Brunda, 33, was told he had 7 days to vacate his East Hollywood apartment, even though he is covered by the COVID-19 tenant regulations and standard renter protections, his attorney said. Sorry, I got to keep scrolling. This is a long article. All right. After he did not immediately move out, his electricity was shut off, the locks were changed, and his landlords began demolishing the kitchen and bathroom, making it uninhabitable, according to photos and his legal complaint. Rwanda, apologize if I shred names here, who had been attending City College nearby and lost a number of freelancing jobs due to COVID, had to enter through a window to get back in and is now trying to rebuild the inside of the unit himself. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And I cannot imagine doing this kind of stuff to somebody. But like I said, when you put people in desperate situations, things get crazy. And that's what we're reading right now. It's getting crazier and crazier. More chaos, more chaos, more chaos. And continuing on. Sorry if I say that a lot. They took my internet and now I can't even apply for jobs. I'm just barely surviving and I'm out of options. Reached by phone, Steve Flashman of my management company, which manages his building, said he was a subtenant of one of his renters who moved out and that he did not know he was still living there until he learned of his complaint. He said the previous tenant was responsible for the electricity and that he would relocate, he would relocate Rwanda while he continues renovating the property, though Rwanda said he had not heard from him. Now, the next subtitle is a question. Can California cancel rent? Activists say these harsh tactics are on the rise and they fear they will only become more common as more tenants fall into debt. I agree. In the meantime, advocates and experts are trying to wrap their heads around how to solve the collapse of an entire system when hundreds of thousands of people simply won't be able to make payments. It is called relief packages. Why are they not looking? Let me pull back on the reins there for a second. Are they putting anything in these stimulus packages to help the landlords? Now, don't get me wrong. There's good and bad. Great landlords, crappy landlords. They both exist. But both of them are property owners. And if they owe mortgages to the bank, they got to make that payment. Now the landlords are looking at their situation and saying, I'm about to lose all my property, my home and my rental property. So I understand the frustration and the stress of a landlord, but I don't think that it justifies treating people this way at all. Absolutely not. All right, state lawmakers are looking at one proposed California law, AB 1436, that would prohibit evictions until April 2021 or 90 days after the emergency ends, whichever happens first. Doesn't sound too bad. The law would also allow tenants to repay debts through the state via their tax returns in subsequent years. It could also potentially allow the lowest income tenants to apply for rent forgiveness. Okay. So, got some resolution coming our way on this. The measure has drawn support from a coalition of small neighborhood property owners who spoke out last week about the importance of avoiding eviction. Even if the measure is adopted, people with rent debts would continue to suffer, which would worsen income equality in the state long term, noted Marquise Vestal, a South Central LATU organizer. This is an entirely new financial class and condition we haven't experienced in at least two generations since the Great Depression. Okay, so yeah, we're putting a Band-Aid on it with the California law AB 1436. It would prohibit the evictions up until April of 2021 or 90 days after the emergency ends, whichever happens first. So you're still looking at the tenants owe this money. So you got to think through this. You're not getting, you know, people that are not getting evicted right now are not getting free rent. They're getting stacked rent. So, you know, if you pay $400 a month for your apartment or whatever, you're looking at 3 months, $1,200, you're in the hole. You gonna owe that money. Now, I'm not saying that's the perfect scenario, but it is something to get us a little bit of relief, a little bit of things in more of a positive direction. You know, and I think they should open the doors even more to giving as many different options for tenants to repay their landlords. You know, doing tax return, not bad, you know, but I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't have anything right off the top of my head, but I think that this is something that California needs to look at very seriously and very quickly, you know, because if the local government does not step in and provide relief, I fear for what comes next. I really do. The solutions provided by local municipalities and the governor don't even come close to addressing the depth of the issue. Well, I'm not saying it doesn't come close. I say it's a starting point. Yes. Is it the resolution that California needs? Maybe not, but it's opening the door. You know, it's one step forward. This is not going to be a sprint. It's going to be a marathon. It's not going to be a overnight fix. So, you know, I'm not going to be a Debbie Downer about the AB 1436. I'm going to look at that as a positive. We're opening the doors. We're looking into this. What can we do? And what can we do right now? Okay? So one step forward. Let's keep that positive. Tenant groups and some housing experts have rallied around the demand to cancel rent, arguing that erasing renters' debts and ensuring they stay housed is the only reasonable way out of this crisis. As the government continues to rescue industries hurt by the pandemic, a bailout for tenants and small property owners is possible, supporters argue. Okay, well, let's look at that. Canceling rent, the only way you're going to get by with that is if the government pays these landlords. That or the banks give forgiveness to the landlords. You know, but it's got to be something, too, that's going to be fair across the board. Because are we going to look at this in a situation and say, okay, well, if you own the property outright, the only thing you're paying is your taxes on it, then you're good. Just leave the tenants alone, let them live there, and write off their taxes or write off their rent on your taxes. You know, we'll give you a tax break on it. But then the people that have mortgages on their rental property, we're going to pay it out. You know, the government's going to pay up until this date. So tenants get forgiveness. You're free and clear. Slate is clean. Everything's going good. But I think on the back end of that, though, if the local, let's just talk local on this for a second. If the local government steps in and does something like that, where they do like a rent forgiveness and a loan bailout to the landlords, I could very easily see California having a huge, huge jack in their taxes shortly after that. One way or the other, people are going to pay for it. The government is not going to pay for it. They're going to use your tax money that you've already put in. They're going to implement a plan. And when they execute it on the back end, you're going to pay for it again. But the other side of that coin is the wars can be put to rest, hopefully. Okay. So it says here, state officials have balked at that idea, dismissing it as unrealistic and not within the state's power. Obvious response from a government that, whoa. You're talking about getting into the money that we play with. You know, this is, the taxpayers give us this money. You know, what about our raises that we get? What about our quarterly bonus? What about the 15 weeks of vacation I got to take this year? Or how about the fact that I've been sitting at home not doing anything for my state because of the pandemic? But you're paying me. And thank you for that money. So that right there tells you state officials have balked at the idea, dismissing it as unrealistic and not within the state's power. Maybe it's a little extreme to look at, but is it unrealistic? No, it's not unrealistic. It's just the fact that, well, for one, the state of California is in so much financial trouble right now, they probably don't have the money to do these bailouts. It would have to go federal. The state is going to have to step up and get federal government involved. Otherwise, really, California is going to hurt to have any money to do anything to give anyone relief. All right. Roy, the UCLA professor, said that although politicians have brushed aside rent cancellation demands, the severe wave of displacement could make it impossible for officials to ignore tenants. Mass evictions have always led to mass mobilizations. This moment will lead to an extraordinary housing justice uprise. Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. 100% on the money. And let's call that housing justice uprising. You're going to have peaceful protest. You're going to have, these are not the same, different groups of people. So don't make it sound like I'm balling it all into one. These are the things that you're going to see. You're going to see groups of people peaceful protesting. but you're also going to start seeing cities burn to the ground. You push and push and leave people feeling that they have no other option to do anything, they're going to resort to violence. It is in our DNA. You push one too many times, and people are going to lose it. And this is, and that's what's slowly happening right now. And it's going to gain momentum. It's going to get faster and faster. You're going to hear more and more about this kind of stuff happening all over the United States. Just so happened that this article popped up and it was in California. I mean, I'd like to say to everybody living in California, get the hell out of Dodge. But a lot of people don't have that option. I mean, I can't just pack up where I'm at right now and move into another state. I don't have that kind of money, and a lot of people don't have it. I mean, a lot of people have been out of work. And just think, not every single person that has been sent home because their place of employment has shut down either temporarily or permanently, there are still people in those situations that have not gotten any unemployment. They keep getting denied, and they have nothing. Nothing. You know, I mean, I barely make enough money to pay things. But I'm not complaining. Because I've been able to go to work, make enough money to keep afloat. But a lot of people are on the opposite side of that spectrum, and I feel horrible for them. Yeah, there's people that abuse the system in any way they possibly can. So yeah, there's people that are probably working and getting unemployment, doubling up on it, while other people can't even get approved. Don't think that's accidental. I mean, what is a resolution for this? Because you got to remember, I mean, think of the people that own multiple properties. You know, they've been renting out properties for years, and that's their income. That's what they do. All of a sudden, their money stops coming because your money stops coming. So now, both of you are in a pickle. But I don't think that justifies resulting into swearing and talking down to women. Talking down to each other in general, you know, but let alone cussing out a 60-year-old woman. You're pathetic. You're absolutely pathetic. I mean, how much of a macho man does it make you feel to cuss out a 60-year-old woman on her voicemail and then try to jack her rent up $315 more a month? You're garbage. You are a piece of garbage. And he's just one example. And if you don't believe me about the homelessness in California, look it up. Go to YouTube. There's millions of videos of people exploiting how bad the homeless crisis is in the state of California. I mean, even Ben Shapiro was talking about it with Joe Rogan just a few days ago. I listened to that podcast. It's the new Joe Rogan episode with Ben Shapiro. So that I think this is the second time Ben's Ben Shapiro has been on Joe Rogan, but even Ben Shapiro is talking about, you know, hey, look, I live in a good community, you know. You know, I mean, him and his wife, they're wealthy. They do well. And so, you know, of course he's going to live in a good neighborhood. And he said it's gotten to the point now where he's finding, like, syringes outside and, you know, drunk, passed out guy at the end of the street, stuff like that. A big part of that homelessness, too, comes from ignoring mental illness and addiction. I mean, there's always going to be people that don't want help. They just won't, you know, they're going to be homeless. If you give them money, they'll take it. But if you try to change their life, they don't want it. Some people just don't want that. And if that's what they choose and that's what they want, then okay. But look into the population of homeless people that have mental illness and addiction. It's an extent, I mean, it's a huge number. You know, we close down mental hospitals because a lot of people that are mentally ill don't have insurance. A lot of people that have addiction don't have insurance. The states start cutting back the funding. You know, we're in the time right now where we're at the highest percentage of people dealing with anxiety and clinical depression, PTSD. And again, we're at catastrophic numbers of addiction with opioids, alcoholism. And what do we do? What do we do with these people? Ignore them. We act like they don't exist. We don't want to deal with it. Some of them make it hard for you to want to deal with it. I've crossed paths with a few homeless people that it just was not a pleasant experience. But look at how much worse it's about to get. You know, we're already experiencing high volume of homeless people. And what did the article say earlier up here? What was it? Let's see. It was 40. Let me find the number. I got to find it now. It's going to drive me crazy. Right down in here. Yeah, 495,000 households are at risk of eviction in Los Angeles County. Remember, that's just Los Angeles County. Silicon Valley, one of the wealthiest regions in the world. 43,000 households are at risk. High risk. And even if just 10% of them end up homeless, that could triple the region's unhoused population. That is catastrophic. And we're talking about one area. You're looking at these evictions going state to state. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like California is going to be ripped apart by it, but then like Oklahoma, they're not going to be dealing with it. No, everybody's going to be dealing with this. Because remember, the federal government put protection acts in place. And now those federal protection acts are expiring. So if the federal government's not going to do anything, which the state government should be the ones first in line. You should always have your state representatives front line defending you. But we don't. So So then big federal man wants to come in and make it seem like they're handing you this nice fluffy bunny rabbit, and then they come and shoot it a month later. Think about it. I mean, have you thought about anybody that lives around you if they're experiencing getting evicted? We should start talking to each other. We should start looking at helping each other. We could pull together as Americans. We could hold our heads up, step out of all the chaos, and help one another. Why aren't we doing that? Instead, we stand by and watch this stuff go down. It ain't my problem. Or as like some people like to say, not my monkey, not my zoo. But eventually it's going to be everybody's problem. And you're not looking far down the road. I pray this gets better before it gets worse. I really do. All right, let's stop there for the day. Good grief, I've gone like an hour and a half. So, all right. I tell you what, if anybody's got any information on how people can get help on not getting evicted from their home, looking for work, you know, anything positive that where we can help one another, utilize my Facebook page, the Sorry for Not Being Sorry Facebook page. Let's utilize that. And, you know, if you've got information, post it on the Facebook page. I'll share it. I'll make sure that it gets out as much as possible. Let's spread the word of things that can help one another through this chaos. And, you know, there's people out there that know way more about this stuff than I do. I'm just reading you an article and giving you my two cents on it. So please feel free. I mean, if you want to email it to me and I'll post it, that's cool too. But if you want to just go directly to Sorry for Not Being Sorry Facebook page, post the stuff. I'll make sure it gets shared. We'll spread it like wildfire and try to help as many people as we can in this time of crisis. And also, if you would like to reach out to me for any reason, please feel free to email me at sorryfornotbeingsorry77@gmail.com. And spread the word that we are now on Spotify and iTunes. And be sure to hit the subscribe button and leave us a review. Love to hear from any of you. And until next episode, I pray that you are all safe and well. And we will talk again soon. Thanks.